Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yo, welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out on today's program. We appreciate your support. Hope you didn't miss the episode about Jose Abreu. It's really good. Even if you're not a White Sox fan, I think you should listen to it because he was a great player in the city. And it's really sad what's happened to him. But this particular conversation is going to be about the Cubs. I know that Dan and I are probably going to spend a lot of time this week talking about some of this stuff, but I did want to get some of this stuff off my chest uninterrupted. Watching the Cubs over the last, the last month of the 2023 season into 2024, has been frustrating. And it's been frustrating even from the standpoint of how we talk about them. And I get that when I say we, I mean we. Like I'm part of the problem here. We tend to give them too much credit. And by them, I mean the front office of the Cubs, Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer. We like them. They sound like they have a really good plan. The question that I've been asking in our show meetings lately is, and I don't, this is going to come off harsher than I mean it to sound. I understand that. I understand sometimes my tone is often seen as being combative, even when it's not. But this is a pointed question. And I know that before I ask it to you. What has Jed Hoyer won as an executive without Theo Epstein? Right? The years in San Diego, he wasn't winning. They won in 2020, but Theo was still technically on the job. And then he just was like skedaddled. It was like cartoon feet running out the door, and then Jed takes over. Since then, the Cubs as an organization from a baseball perspective have been a disappointment. It was a funny viral moment last year when I was talking about how, in very colorful language, basically the Cubs should be stunting on the entire National League Central because they should be. They're the team with their own network. They're the team with their own resources. They're the team inside of the division that don't have to worry, at least coming into the season. There is something to worry about as it pertains to marquee and its reach at the end of the season, which later on in the season, maybe in the next couple of weeks, I'll do a podcast specifically about that, because at the end of the season, I don't know if it'll matter or not. Cubs games will probably disappear off of cable for a little while, but I'll get to that later on. The reason that I asked the question is that Jed is associated with winning because of what the Cubs did in 2015, 2016, 2017. And inside of that, he had Joe Maddon there in the clubhouse and in the dugout, and Theo Epstein, two guys that are masters of taking pressure off. So there wasn't really a lot of pressure on Jed other than to be a guy that could counterbalance Theo, to remind him of things that they had put in place, to be a good lieutenant to an incredible general, and to have to finesse the relationship with Joe Maddon, which we saw at the end of it just devolve. Them wanting to move on from Joe, then hiring Rossi, then firing Rossi, and then hiring Craig Counsell, who, by the way, I think is doing a tremendous job with not a lot. I think that that bunt-a-thon that we saw last week, I think that was a cry for help. I think that was a very angry manager saying, this is what you've given me. This is what I have to resort to. We have to now have to manufacture runs. And don't get me wrong, there are always, I'm always for a manager trying to come up with creative ways to score runs when your team isn't scoring them. But the problem is that the Cubs have had to do that a little too much, and it's still not effective. I was watching Tony Andracki on Marquee, and he, I guess up until, was it Saturday's game, that the Cubs hadn't had like an extra base hit since when? Like, it was just like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, they're just out there hitting singles. Here's my frustration, and I'm okay with being wrong about this if the Cubs turn it around. Quite honestly, nothing would make me happier. From a business standpoint, the Cubs being good is good. A lot of our shows end at 12:45 during the baseball season. That time that the Cubs are on, that the Cubs pregame is on, that goes on our record. That goes on Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi's record. So it'd be nice if the Cubs were good. It actually helps us if they're good. Anyway, what frosts me about the way that the Cubs have talked about their team building is that, oh, well, we are trying to be a run prevention team, which is cool. I get it. We want to be strong up the middle. And I look at the decisions that they've made. When they signed Dansby Swanson, of the shortstops that were available, was the fourth best shortstop on the list. And he ends up winning a gold glove in that first year, and his power numbers were fine. He has hit a wall. And I don't know if this is just a guy who is injured and is trying desperately to play through an injury. There are moments when I look at him and I go, maybe there's something going on. Maybe he is going to need a piece of meniscus taken out when the season is over and he's fighting through it. Right now, Dansby Swanson's numbers, 214, 288, 352. On base, plus slugging, 640. His OPS plus is 81. And strangely enough, his OPS plus for his career is 95. Remember, in that category, 100 is baseline. So anything below 100 is not good. Anything above 100 is good. Last year, for the Cubs, he was 100. But you saw him hit 22 home runs last three seasons coming into 2024, 27, 25, 22. And that's what I always wondered about Swanson, is this the part where we see more slug out of him in his career? His career slug number, by the way, is 413. So he is way below that in the 2024 season. Plus, he's not as good of a defender this year, which is part of the reason why I'm like, is there something going on with his legs? Because he's not getting to some plays. He's not popping up as quickly. The other problem is, look at his game logs. Dansby Swanson is the type of player that doesn't like to take days off. I respect it. I truly do. But that position, is you are asked to do so much that it's not always great. If we start in 2017, 144 games, in 2018, 136, 2019, 127. In 2020, he played all 60 of them. In 2021, 160. In 2022, 162. He played every damn game. And then he plays 147 for the Cubs last year. He probably needed a break last year. And I think part of the reason that the Cubs stumbled down the stretch last year is because Dansby Swanson wanted to keep playing and no one told him no. Sometimes players need to be saved from themselves. I respect it. I truly respect it. I don't want you to go away thinking that I don't. I respect him wanting to play. It's not always the best thing for the team, for the player to be selfish, and I mean that in the best possible way. It looks like Dansby has figured some of that stuff out and that he's okay with Craig Counsell asking him to take a day off now. He just didn't have any juice left. You also could just be seeing a 31-year-old shortstop. That could be part of this. Then maybe he's just not going to be that player, and they committed to him for another 5 years. Nico Horner is a badass. He plays like his hair is on fire. I appreciate the way that he goes about it. The thing with him that I've always wondered, when I look at how he's built up, I go, hey, is there more slug in there? Is that a guy who's never had in his career a 20 home run season? He's never had a 15 home run season. Can he get to 15? Or is Nico Horner your leadoff hitter? His career OPS plus is 97. I think that number isn't entirely fair to Nico. It's funny because I think he's a better player than that number suggests. And he has incredible defensive value. And he's still pretty young. And then you start thinking about center field. Center field has been up for grabs. There's not one person there every day for the Cubs. It's either Tauchman or it's Bellinger or it's PCA. Tauchman's had a great renaissance to his career. It's pretty awesome what he's done. But I wouldn't make the argument right now that strength up the middle has been worth it. PCA is second, I think, in defensive runs saved. He can go get it. He's also made mistakes out there in center field. And your catching position has been a nightmare this season. Amaya and Gomes have both been bad. And defensively, they haven't done enough to even make up for how bad they've been offensively.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It just feels like whenever I hear Jed or Carter talk about the way that the Cubs are supposed to be built, it sounds really smart. We're a team that's into run prevention. And they do have starting pitchers that go along with that, but you don't have a bullpen that does that. As it stands right now, there are two guys that you can count on. And what happened last week? What happened Thursday? The one time where you can't count on Mark Leiter, things blow up on you and you end up losing a series. Other than the White Sox series, the two-game series against the worst team in the league, the Cubs have lost 8 out of their last 9. That's wild. They have... Here's the frustrating part for me. The Cubs talk about themselves as being the team that we saw in April. That is more indicative of who they are as a team versus May and June. June's half over now. So we're talking a month and a half of them being bad. Why does the month of them being good way more than the month and a half of them being bad? Even from a statistical standpoint, if we wash out April with May, there's still bad June. There's no reason to believe that they're going to get better other than, well, statistically, you would think that all of these guys are going to bounce back, except for the fact that you have to put into the equation guys getting older. You have to put into the equation that development is not linear. That's a Theo quote. I expect Christopher Morel to be better, but I think that's just because you can see the talent, but the talent hasn't completely congealed yet. Even he's slugging under 400, and he's got 13 home runs. And what's really weird about it is if you look at Christopher Morel's walk rate, his walk rate is the highest of his career. Get this. And I've been tracking this now for about since the Cardinals series. So that's Memorial Day, since Memorial Day. Sahadev Sharma and I were talking about this. Right now, Morel has 34 walks. If he gets 4 more walks this season, he will tie his career high for walks. We're not even halfway through the season, and he's almost at his record for walks. His walk rate is up, which is the only thing that's strength. Like, it's so weird. His career on base percentage is .309. He's hitting .198 this year. And the only reason that he's still around his on-base percentage number is because he's walking more. I've always been taught that when a guy walks, that means he's seeing the ball better. That eventually leads to him going back up the middle or the opposite way and then being able to pull the trigger and pull someone when they try to go inside. I hope that that's the case for him, because he's too talented of a hitter to be like this. But when you look at the body of work, Morel's never been a guy that's hit for average. And we're talking, you know, 220 games coming into this season. Average has never been his thing. Slug has been his thing. Can he get that slug back to 450-ish with the walks? Maybe he's a 3 true outcome guy. That would be kind of interesting to see. But it just bugs me that that's the conversation that we've had about the Cubs. We give them the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're doing. And I don't, it sounds really good. The stuff that they say whenever we talk with Carter or Jed, it makes sense. When I hear Craig Counsell talk, it makes sense. Something's not working. And here's my worry. My worry is that they're not able to identify it. If you look at the Cubs offense over the last seven seasons, because that's going back to when Theo said that their offense was broken. They haven't fixed it yet. They were reluctant to spend money in the offseason. And I know that they're up against the CBT. I get it. But it really felt like they were like, well, we'll do just enough. We'll bring Belly back and we'll project out that the rest of these guys are going to do better and that'll make the team better. They didn't want to spend, and then maybe if the Cubs are close near the trade deadline, they'll go above the tax. They might have screwed themselves by doing that. They have dug a giant hole for themselves. Now find themselves in last place in a division that's not competitive, at least from the standpoint of the teams being good. It's competitive that all the teams are kind of bunched up somewhere between 8 and 9 games behind the Brewers. But it's not like these teams are being competitive overall, and it stinks. For Cubs fans, I don't want to look to next year already in June. I don't like that the default setting of people when talking about the Cubs is, oh, well, look at their farm system. Their farm system is great. You don't know that yet. We joke about the concept of the prospect humpers. People telling me the PCA is the greatest thing they've ever seen since Brennan Davis. Or they've got to get Matt Mervis to the major league squad. Those were high-level prospects that people couldn't wait to tell you that were going to be the future of the Cubs. Davis got hurt and hasn't been able to recover, really. And Mervis has been bad. And PCA hasn't knocked your socks off. He can be deployed as a weapon. I don't know if he'll ever hit well enough to be anything more than the guy who is the defensive replacement and the guy that you bring in to steal bases. And there's a role for that. Don't get me wrong. There's a role. But it's not, man, this guy is the next great thing. And I was looking at the standings. And you know what? If you were thinking that Pete Alonso is going to come save the Cubs, the Mets have won, at the time of this recording, 5 in a row. They are in a virtual tie with the Cubs record-wise. Maybe the Mets add and not subtract. I guess you can look at Toronto starting to move on from their project of we'll just draft major league players' sons with the DFAing of Varsho and say, well, maybe they'll trade Bichette. Or they'll trade Vladdy. Vladdy would help. Bichette honestly would help. You could play him at third. And you could DH Morel and you can be done with all of it. But they could have done more in the offseason. And they just seem content to wait. And it just feels like a waste of Cubs fans' time. And it seems like they're totally okay with kicking the can down the road. When you make the type of expenditure that you do to Craig Counsell, you're thinking that there are other big things to come. They could argue, well, it'll be in the offseason this year. But I remember having to deal with Dan that people's biggest takeaway from the Cubs offseason was, boy, did they get a deal on Cody Bellinger. Here's the thing. Cody Bellinger's been your best player. He and Talkman. Belly's numbers are fine. It's not his fault. I looked it up a couple days ago, but let me just make sure. Now that he's fallen off in the last 3 days, Cody Bellinger is on his numbers. He's a 1.1 war, so you think he'd probably be a 3.5 war. OPS plus of 117. His career is 120. He's on his numbers. Where's everyone else at? I don't know what happens next, but it doesn't feel very good to see the Cubs at the bottom of the division. A division that should be theirs, that I've been dying for them to take control of, and they just won't. Thanks so much for listening. It's appreciated. Let me know what you think. Hey, people have been really good about the email. So if you want to email the podcast, houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to do a follow-up to that soccer pod that we did last month. Some really good answers to the question of why soccer's not or isn't as big of a thing in the United States and in the black community. There's some really good banter. So houseoflpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email about this or any of the other episodes. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.